In 2013, Kenneth Bay, a Christian minister and missionary from Linwood, was convicted of trying to overthrow the North Korean government. A North Korean court sentenced Bay to 15 years hard labor. He was released after 2 years, but that's still the longest stretch any American has spent in a North Korean prison since the Korean War. Today, Kenneth Bay has a perhaps surprising goal, to be a voice for the people of North Korea. He says without an outside advocate, the world will forget and abandon the North Korean people.
We see North Korea in general is all negative in nature, but really the most people have no idea about what the ordinary people's life is like. And there are 24 million people, and often the people of North Korea are often forgotten, lived a forgotten life by the searcher outside because they were so isolated, they were cut off.
As you say, it is a mysterious corner of the world. The little we know about North Korea, we have this picture of a land of hungry people living under dictatorship, cut off from the outside world, certainly not very welcoming to outsiders. So why did you feel called to go there in the first place?
I felt compassion for the people of North Korea. I was born in South Korea, but my family background is from North Korea. And so I wanted to see is anything I can do to help their economy. At the same time, to let the world know what it's really like to live in North Korea. So I brought people in as tourists to explore the land and meet the people, experience the culture in North Korea, so that there is a somewhat understanding and closeness between North Korea and the rest of the world. And I made a very honest mistake by carrying in an external portable hard drive that contained some anti-North Korean footage from the Western media. And they accused me that I was attentive to overthrow the government, and they charged me two things, through the prayer and through worship. And they see that action of people coming there to pray and worshiping behalf of North Korean was threatening enough, so they said that we have to charge you for this.
And what did you think when you heard that because of prayer you were going to be charged with overthrowing the North Korean government?
Well, I asked this question, why you don't even believe in God, or why do you believe in prayer? That's what I said to them. And I said, why do you think the prayer is so threatening to you? And then they said, you probably came to not pray for us, but pray against us so that we can crumble down. And literally took the prayer as a powerful weapon against them.
You were convicted and sentenced to 15 years of hard labor. Looking back on it through that entire time you spent in prison, what was the lowest point for you?
The lowest point was the time that the U.S. envoy was supposed to arrive, and realized that it was canceled at the last minute. And I was putting into despair, thinking that I may not be able to go home afterward. And so that was about a one-year period of time I was there, thinking that I'll be going home soon. But that hope was crushed when I heard that the U.S. envoy's visit was canceled. And so I spent many hours wondering why I need to be here, what am I supposed to do next?
Now, of all the unlikely people, you say former NBA star Dennis Rodman managed to get the media interested in your case. Can you tell us that part of the story?
Well, I was watching TV one night in the North Korea hospital one night, and I saw Dennis Rodman singing for the birthday for Kim Jong-un.
He had come on a visit.
Yeah, he came on a visit with other NBA players, and there was an exhibition game, and he was there. And I didn't know anything after that, but after a couple of weeks later, a prosecutor came to me, and he was very upset, saying that this is what the Western media is saying about you. And it turned out that Dennis Rodman made a remark while doing an interview in the CNN, and that led the reaction of the public and important figures, and North Korea was clearly upset that everybody's saying that they are holding the innocent man. And so because of his rant, the media coverage was wider and more people took interest in my case. So I do believe that accidentally he helped my case to be well known.
So does Dennis Rodman then deserve any credit for helping to get you out sooner, perhaps?
So I think Dennis Rodman on CNN interview last week saying that is, you know, thank you for being a catalyst for my release because of his rant, I was able to come home.
In your book, you write about how you tried to talk with the guards who watched you every second of every day, trying to find some way to relate. Did you find any moments of connection with the guards?
In the first year, it was very difficult to connect with them. Once I decided that to accept the fact that I need to be here longer, this is when that I started to have a heart for them and see them as the people who do not know God and they need to be speaking to. And then later on, the door opens, and I was able to connect with them, many conversations, small conversations like, how much do you make in the United States? What is it like to live in the U.S.? And do people really have house and cars? And these are the questions they ask. And when I explain to all those things, they say, no way, because no way that most of common people can live like that, because they were told that only about 1% of people in the United States have everything. Rest of them are living in poverty. And this is what they were told throughout their lifetime.
I understand you also did a fair amount of marriage counseling.
And later on, people opened up quite a bit. And then I was, one by one, they're coming to me and said, Pastor, can I talk to you? And then they were talking about their marriage problems and parenting issues. And so I ended up doing quite a bit of counseling and sitting down, talking and chatting and then became kind of like friends to them. We started to see each other as a regular human being. They realized that I wasn't CIA. I wasn't there to really trying to overthrow the government. I was just a missionary who was sent there to love people, love God, you know, even in the midst of the prison.
You've had about a year and a half of freedom now. So what have you decided to take from your prison experience as you move into the future?
This is the first time I truly valued how precious freedom is. And because of this experience that I realized that what we have in the United States is so precious, freedom to speak, freedom to demonstrate our faith, and it's so important. And I do see the people like North Korean, and there are a lot of refugees are coming over to South Korea even nowadays, or some to the United States. And I hope that God can continue to use me to be the bridge to North Korea and also to North Korean refugees that were coming in. And I want to continue to work with them and serve them if there's any way it's possible.
Will you ever go back to North Korea?
I would love to go back, but under different circumstances. And then if I go back, and I want to go back with the blessing of the United States government and also with the North Korean government's blessing. But then in order to do that, circumstances had to change. And then maybe with the different relations, you know, being formed in the later on in the future, I hope that I can go back and to meet those people, see those people again that who were there as a captor. But now I consider them, some of them, as friends.
Kenneth Bay is a missionary and an ordained Southern Baptist minister. He spent 2 years in a North Korean prison, and he's preparing to return to Asia now. His book is called Not Forgotten, The True Story of My Imprisonment in North Korea.